Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is the 9th of January, 2016 at 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. Welcome everyone to the show this evening. We're happy to have you with us. And I would like to give an especially warm welcome to the leader of this very ancient teaching, and that is Sri Kadavji Lamahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master in an unbroken line of masters. So it's a very, very ancient teaching. And I'd like to welcome you, Sri Kadavji, and also maybe you could tell us a little bit about the background of this teaching, if you wouldn't mind starting with that.
Oh, thank you for having me, Leslie. Sure, I'll start with the history, if you will. The history is pretty much changeable, or goings and comings, if you will, in terms of the teaching is not always public. And then when it is public, the Living Sarosha Master comes forward and gives talks and gives introductions like we do this evening. And then what we do then is to find the ready soul. Even back to ancient times in the beginning, there have always been ready souls in different locations and areas where they reside in the physical world, and then this essence that they have within them yearns to go back to the source of the eternal and the supreme deity that we call the Akshar on the path of ACOTA. Now, the pronunciation shows the TH, and there's no TH in higher Sanskrit, so you pronounce it with a hard T. So the pronunciation of the name of the teaching is ACOTA, not ACOTA or ACOTA. It's ACOTA. And again, the history is pretty much it doesn't really have a definite time because it fluctuates a great deal, but like in a cycle, like in a circle. But it's not, as I said, it's not public sometimes. In other words, it's not being taught. But there's always the Living Sarosha Master, whom I represent presently in the longest unbroken lineage in history. That history, being unlimited and eternal, goes to the fluctuation cycles of history as well. That shows that ACOTA has been public many times, but it often is non-public as well. Back the last time it was non-public was before 1988, for about 15 years was non-public. Sometimes the timing factors really don't matter, so you'll see large gaps in history when it isn't public, and sometimes there's short spans as well. Having said all that, the importance really is when it's public, is for the ready soul that may be listening this evening to this introduction, that they may take the next step of becoming a member of the teaching, which is free. It doesn't cost anything to be a member. The books are free. Seminars are free. Nothing. We don't charge anything to get spirit on the path of ACOTA, because it's like, oh, well, how can one charge for spirit? Well, they do, but we don't in this teaching. The ready soul comes to the path, they fill out the application, become a member. And the reason they do that is it's a commitment to myself as a Living Sarosha Master, as a teacher. Then what happens is, as soon as they make that commitment, then their karma ceases. They have karma from the past. That's why we teach karma and reincarnation in what is called the lower worlds. The lower worlds are the area of karma and reincarnation. In the liberation planes above those four lower planes that Leslie will go into in a little while, but above those four planes, the planes of liberation, there's no karma. The karma has been resolved. I think we don't cover that clearly enough in the past. In other words, the idea of karma ceases when you become a member, but it was created in the four lower planes. The physical. Well, I'll let you talk about that then. Why don't you go ahead and talk about the lower worlds, Leslie, okay?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So we're existing here in the physical plane, which is the the lowest of the lower worlds. And the reason that is because the vibrations of matter are the densest here. When spirit, what we call Svarosha, flows from the higher worlds to the lower worlds, in the higher worlds, it's pure positive spirit, and there is no negativity. But then when you reach the mental plane, just below the soul plane, the etheric plane, let's say, just below the soul plane, because that's the top of the mental, spirit breaks off into dual aspects. So you have the positive and the negative. So what happens at the top of the lower planes, which is the etheric plane, it has more spirit than matter. But then as it comes and flows downward towards the physical, more matter gets intermingled with the spiritual aspect of it. So here we are in the physical plane. Now, there are different aspects of these planes, and the reason is because you know this is because when you're on your inner travels in Sahaji, you might want to know where you are. And you can tell where, obviously we know we're here on the physical plane. Now, there is a sound, the sound of spirit, a spirit that goes with each of these planes. There's a color that is predominant in each of the planes. So in the physical plane, the predominant color is green. The sound is the sound of thunder. When you hear thunder, that's actually the sound of Svarosha. And the unspoken word that you hear that's associated, that you can learn that's associated with this plane is Alaya. I wasn't pronouncing it correctly. But then just above the physical plane, we go to the astral plane. Now here on the astral plane, this is where a lot of people are traveling in astral projection, where when people perform psychic phenomena like as fortune tellers or tarot readers or prophets, they're dwelling really on the psychic plane. And when people travel on this plane in astral projection, they're really connected to the physical body by the silver cord. So it's kind of a dangerous way to travel because that cord can be cut or messed with by spirits on the inner that are devious entities. So that's why we travel in Sahaji. We do soul travel versus astral travel. And Sahaji allows the individual to travel into any plane that they want, and they're not connected by that silver cord. You're traveling in soul body. So it's a very protected way of traveling. And then additionally, in the astral plane, the color in the astral ranges from a pinkish color to a red color, depending on what part of the astral plane that you are. But if you're traveling someplace or you're in an area and you see the predominant color of a reddish, red or pink, then you know that you're in the astral plane. And there are sounds that you might hear here in the astral plane is the roar of the sea. So that's another way to identify where you are at the time. Now, just above the astral plane is the causal plane. This is where people go when they want to read their past life records. You've probably heard of the Akashic Records. But you can read your past life records on the causal plane, which has sort of an ochre, coppery color to it, orange color. And the sound associated with is a tinkle of bells. Now, also, you hear a lot of people using the AUM sound. Well, when they're using the AUM sound, it's actually keeping them tied to the causal plane, which is not as high as an individual can go to. So we'll go into what's a higher word to use in just a little while, but I just want to let people know that if you're interested in spiritual unfoldment and spiritual mastery, is not going to get you there. Then additionally, right above the causal plane is the mental plane. It has a light blue color, sort of an azure blue color. The sound that's associated is a running of water. And the mental plane is also, all religions come from that mental plane. So whatever religion that someone belongs to, it's on that fourth plane, the mental plane. It's still part of the lower world, and it's not going to get someone to the goals that they need, which are self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. So you get tied into that mental plane and don't go any further. Now, right at the top of the mental plane is actually another plane that's part of it, and it's called the etheric plane. And there's a beautiful lavender color that's associated with the etheric plane, and if you're hearing the buzzing of bees, then you know that that's where you're traveling. This is also the plane of the unconscious. And so those are the lower planes, and what we really want to aim for is the soul plane, which is the first plane of the pure positive God worlds, where there is no negativity, no opposites like there are in the lower worlds, just pure positive spirit. So I'll leave you to take it from here, Srikadav G, if you would like.
Right. And the what actually is to be liberated, and we probably danced around a little bit, is the essence of man or woman as soul, the light and sound current within one, and that sound current is can be heard as a high electrical pitch or ringing in the ear. If someone that's on the show today has not understood what that is, sometimes you can hear it even when it's somewhat noisy, but often one has to go to a quiet place to be able to hear the sound current. And once they hear that sound current, they're hearing the very voice of God, their own spark of divinity, as the consciousness, the individual consciousness of one as soul. Now that is the eternal spark that we all are as soul, and we've been that forever, and it's a perpetuity factor of becoming aware of that in the goals of ACTA and then mastering it for eternity. Now, there's a dichotomy in that because they say, well, can masters fall? But it's very rare. We've had masters on this path that have stopped being on the path, and then they're called a rogue master. But we won't get into that in a lot of detail because today is for the more of an introductory. But there, the possibilities happen with anything. But generally what we talk about here is a general policy. But as usual, you make the rule, but the rules can be changed by individuals that are persistent and are able to go quicker, if you will. Association with me personally sometimes speeds up the karma, too. It's a quickening of resolving the imagery that has gone unresolved from past lives. And so it would be like psychological closure, if you will. You find out the creation of the polarities of good and evil in one's life, and then they're resolved in a neutrality. We call ACTA, the word means balance or equilibrium. So you come to a balance in your life and resolve all of the negative and positives, and then you follow the middle path, as Buddha talked about, and the middle path is ACTA. And it's what opposites have in common. When you get to the middle, then you're going directly to the Supreme Deity. That's the idea of the path, is to center oneself each day in what we call a daily contemplation, which we highly recommend. It's not a mandate, but it's highly recommended to do the 30-minute practice that we have mentioned in our introductory book in Chapter 3. There's various different techniques, spiritual exercises, we call them, that the shortened term of contemplation is used. And in that contemplation that we recommend 30 minutes every day to do, one is traveling in the state of Sahaji. We travel in the state of Sahaji once we are at that essence of soul. For instance, I'm speaking from soul, like Leslie was speaking from soul. And when people speak, they really are speaking from soul, but they don't really know how to identify with it properly. But most teachings are talking about the identification of the individual as mind, but then what is the mind? Well, the mind is really a camera. It's pictures that are controlled by the power, which is soul. There's not an explanation in any other teaching in reference to what I just said. In other words, ACTA is the highest path, the only path that can lead to liberation, because we have the concepts to guide one to the essence of soul. We are the only teaching that can do that, because I challenge people to go elsewhere, even anybody on the call tonight, to go read something that has even a similarity to Akacha. I mean, exact wording doesn't exist. And that's the irony of, we say, well, only 1% can get it on this path. The other 99% have no attention level to understand the wisdom that we impart, which is fine. I mean, that's all right. I mean, they're not supposed to anyway, because their attention level is like a gnat anyway. They pick around and don't choose. And that's not a derogatory statement. It's just a fact. The attention level is poor. And then it's increased in the daily contemplation. That's what it's for, is to increase one's attention so they can see the liberation of the fifth plane. There is the twin aspects of the higher worlds has two senses. We have sight and sound, light and sound. You see what I mean? So we can see and hear on the inner planes. So we see our liberation in the light of the Supreme Deity, and we hear our liberation in the sound current we call Srosha, which is a high word for spirit. It means spiral or spirit are derivative terms for it. But Srosha, S-R-A-O-S-H-A, the higher Sanskrit word, the original word for spirit, that's seen as a stylized logo on all the temples of golden wisdom on the inner planes, right in the keystone when you walk through the doors. On all those planes that Leslie was talking about, there is in the center of the plane called a temple of golden wisdom, Akacha Temple of Golden Wisdom. And one can go there to study the high path of Akacha in the many Haji's books, they're called. We have the books that we call, the original term for the word Bible is Haji's, albeit we're not really a religion, but often the Akacha will turn into a religion because they misinterpret the four definitions that we call Akacha, a way, path, science, or teaching. And I prefer science because the short term is ancient science of Sahaji, the short definition. And that specific science of Sahaji firstly teaches, after said, the essence as soul, and then soul will travel in Sahaji. We're traveling in Sahaji now, even in the physical plane. Physical plane is a low spiritual plane. So once we know ourselves as soul, we're traveling in Sahaji. See, we dwell in Sahaji, we dwell in the self, we revel in the self, in the self-realization, the true identity. It's very simple. We all know it, but everybody can't get to it. It's only the 1 in 100 presently in the Earth's region. The 1% can get what we're talking about. It's not a riddle. The things I say are not a riddle to them tonight. They will understand the wisdom that's imparted by the present living Srosha Master of the time. I happen to be the 973rd since 3100 BC at midnight on October 22nd of that year. And that means that there has been an average tenure of about 6 years, but the dynamic in tenure is substantial. It's anywhere from a couple of days to about 300 years. I've been the master for about 26 years, so somewhat of a novice in the extensive longevity of tenure, but probably longer than a lot of them, too. Because the average, as I said, is 6 years, but there's, as I said, it's been various in the range of that. But that's not really that important, other than the fact that it's important from the standpoint that the living Srosha Master always exists as a state of consciousness, like the central consciousness of the Supreme Deity of the Akshara. That doesn't mean that the living Srosha Master is God. We don't want to get that mixed up, because everybody would be in the same. But he is like the central consciousness that flows out to the rest of the world. All right, it doesn't have to be complex from the standpoint that we can hear our sound current. When we hear the sound current, then we also have potential in our own self-mastery. When I'm not the living Srosha Master, I'll still be a spiritual master, because they gain that on the 10th initiation, as you were saying earlier, the 10th initiation being the plane of mastery. What's our time like? I can see it here.
We've got about 10 minutes left. And okay. If I might interrupt, I did want to mention, because I said to, I told everyone earlier that a lot of people use the word om and that only gets them to the
right.
causal plane.
Yeah,
and
take us
that,
through that. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. What we use is the word hue, because hue is the word that gets you to spiritual mastery. And that's why you want to use that word, because it has such a high vibration. It's not going to let any kind of negativity come in. It completely really obliterates any kind of negativity that's in the area. So we use here during our contemplation. And I can take everyone through a brief hue chant, which is sort of a glimpse of what a contemplation exercise is like. So if everyone would sit comfortably, take a breath or two, and close your eyes, and put your attention on either the tizratil, which is that point between your eyebrows just above the bridge of your nose, or on your crown chakra, which is really the highest chakra right at the top of the head. It's the spot where the soul comes in as a baby. And then you just chant along with me. You. So you can feel the high vibration of the hue. And when one begins a contemplation, they might want to chant the hue for a few moments or longer, whatever feels comfortable for them. And the idea of the contemplation is to be a channel for spirit, to open ourselves up to be a channel for spirit. And that 30 minutes, which is what we should spend in contemplation every day, will cover us for a 24-hour period, bringing us balance for that time. So that's why it's just a scientific measurement. It's very important that we contemplate on a daily basis. And as we always say, it's not a mandate, but really if someone's interested in their spiritual unfoldment, they're going to be doing that spiritual exercise daily. To miss it is really putting a kink in the fly in the ointment, I guess would be a good expression to use, because you facilitate your spiritual unfoldment, and then when you stop doing the hue, it slows up, and issues can happen. So to keep yourself on an even keel and to keep heading towards the goals of self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery, it's really important to do that contemplation every day for 30 minutes. Did you want to add anything to that?
Well, I was thinking when we were doing it, sometimes we don't even mention, which is an obvious, it's a very comfortable and relaxing experience in contemplation. So it's uplifting and also feels good to do it. Sometimes we don't even mention that because it's a very quiet, calming experience, obviously. So, and we don't emphasize that sometimes. So it's not like it's a... you're playing music or anything. We don't recommend that. Just to do it on your own, closing the eyes, closing off to the physical arena to, I say, plug into the universe, so to speak, and travel within that universe. Because people often ask me how to do the sahaji, and I say, well, you learn how to observe just as you do on the physical plane. You learn how to see and observe there as well. It's the same way you would see on the inside, that you learn how to just see there as well. And the if you take a day and observe and concentrate on the physical, you'll find that you'll be able to see better on the inside. So it's just a matter of looking. And if a lot of people will see darkness when they close their eyes, if we know that black or pitch black is really all colors with the absence of light, but then when we define black and white, really it's just a connotation of light, like dark and light. Light is dark and dark is light. They have a scriptural phrase, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness grasps it not. Then they had another interpretation recently I saw that the dark doesn't become the light, but it really meant that the both are the same. But it's a matter of logical definitions that really are just connotations and not necessarily the reality of it. In other words, it's a relative description. That means that the dark is light and light is dark. And then, therefore, when you're closing your eyes and seeing darkness, that's really just a subjective definition, when in reality you're seeing light or both. You see, it doesn't matter because it's all the feeling or the essence of it. So when you feel it and hear the sound, you're actually hearing the light. If you see light, a white light or a dark light, if when you talk about it that way, then you see that when people see, they say they see light, well, they'll see a white light. Well, that's good too, but it's not important. See, it's a matter of how you feel and what you know. See, knowing this is more important than really what you see, but knowing this is what you do see. See, it's all contradiction in terms of the language of logic, as I'm always trying to say, and I might just do an example of the higher Sanskrit that I do sometimes, much to the chagrin of people sometimes because they think it's funny, but the idea of it's a children's gibberish. When a child is born, they have higher Sanskrit. So it doesn't make any sense, but it also gets rid of contradictions. So if one ever feels that they're trapped in logic or they don't have explanation, if they wax higher Sanskrit, you'll find there's a great freedom in that. People may not understand what you're saying, but they might be impressed with the fact that you're knowing all languages at the same time. It's a rather interesting concept that only we explain on the path of act, and nobody else explains it. So we have it all. We have total awareness and total consciousness in the practice of sahaji. All right, so we're down to about a couple minutes, I think.
Yeah, we have about 3 minutes, and I did want to mention to people that we do not have any charge for anything on this path that is completely free. We don't want to charge anyone for spiritual unfoldment. That should be completely open to everyone to be able to attain that if they wish to, whereby there is no charge for any of the books or any of the discourses or to come to any seminars. And feel free to take a look at our website, because on our website you can download the books that are on there for free. There's a wonderful introductory book by Sri Kadavji, the introduction to the Akita, the ancient science of Sahaji. And that gives you a wealth of information about the teaching. It gives you various contemplative techniques that you can use. There's so much information in that. It's very, very helpful to be able to read through that book. So I would
also
highly recommend that.
Also, there's a graphic illustration on the back with
Pardon
the planes
me?
Chart. You might mention the
yes.
planes chart, too. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the planes chart is there that gives you a diagram of the various planes that we went into earlier, and it gives you all the sounds of that and describes the planes. So it's very, very good. So feel free to do that. If you've been listening for a while and you're interested in membership, then you can download an application as well, and there is no charge for that either. So feel free to do any of that. We certainly invite you to do that. And with that, I wanted to say that we're coming to a close of the show. We probably only have about a minute left. I do appreciate everyone who has listened in tonight. I invite you to listen to our archives and come back next week. Actually, next week there won't be a live show, but you can listen to the archives next week. And with that, I wanted to say thank you again, and especially a warm thank you to Sri Kadavji for being on the show. We've got about 45 seconds left, so I want to give you the opportunity to close for the evening, if you would.
Since no one can actually see me except in spirit, which is always good, I raise my right hand with palm facing out. I am always with you. May the blessings be. Barakah B'Shah.